Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. Happy New Year. I think this is it, right? This is the last day where you have to say Happy New Year to people.
Yep. Now if you don't do it now, you got to wait till next year.
Right. This is it. This is the last day. Everyone you talk to, every email is, this is it. That was just Adrienne Lenker with Steamboat off her album Hours Were the Birds. Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm good.
Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You know, this is the last day that you can say that.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that. Adrienne will be performing later in the show. But first up, we have Jeff Bailey.
Hello.
A.K.A. Jeff Glasshouse. from the amazing, amazing Whirly Bird. So good. It's right around the corner from me. But even if it wasn't, I think I checked out the very first day when you opened.
Did you?
Yeah, because I used to live in Austin, and I go all the time, and you can't ever get breakfast tacos.
I was excited for myself, too. I thought I didn't have to go to Texas to get it.
So let's step back a little bit, because before you got into food, you had a music career.
I did. I used to be somebody.
No,
I'm just kidding. I never was anybody. I was a bass player, which is, you know, the opposite of somebody.
And what was the name of your band? Bands?
Well, I've played in a lot of bands. Most recently, I spent about 7 years as the bass player in a band called Phosphorescent. Mm-hmm. I spent a long time touring and playing on the last three couple records for the man Matthew Houck's music. And yeah, so I was doing that. I was working on another project with members of that band called Virgin Forest, which is a slightly different kind of style of music. And you know, slowly writing my own music and playing, I don't know, just, I just basically played with whoever asked me to play. And I, you know, I've been playing bass since I was 15, and, you know, a lot of people need a bass player, so I did that for a long time.
Is, I feel like the rhythm section, like the bass and the drums, guys who focus mainly on that play in a lot of bands, because they're not the singer-songwriter mentality of trying to do their own thing all the time.
I always approach, like, I was never really a guitarist who ended up playing bass because he, you know, I really enjoyed playing and finding that pocket and helping to make these songs sound really, really, you know, better, you know? It just feels good to play music, and I've just been doing that for a long time.
Important question, how's your bass face?
Oh God, it's disgusting. It's amazing.
Did you start off having a bass face, or was it immediate, or did it evolve?
No, it's been the same one. It's been the same one the whole time. I can't even.
You can't attempt unless you're.
I have to be playing a bass. I have to be in the middle of something real special. You know what I mean? I have to be like I gotta be, you know, deep in that pocket. You know what I mean?
Do you feel it coming on, or do you?
I don't even notice it. But if you look at pictures, you will see. It's the same one. It's a very, very subtle duck face, but it's a thing of beauty. I mean, not many people can resist it. You know what I mean? That's what people mostly talk about when they write. You know, when the press writes about my soaring bass lines and stuff. You know, never happened.
Oh my God. Jeff Bailey's soaring bass line are only matched by his intense bass face.
That was my joke, is that because, like, you know, like bass playing never gets written about, like, in bands and stuff like that. Nobody gives a shit, but consciously. But my joke was that, like, somebody would write about my soaring bass lines. But
soaring.
You'd never say that. Nobody would ever say that.
So when did you start thinking that you were going to open up a restaurant?
I kind of had the thought, and I would just be on tour constantly, and then I'd come back and I'd get bored between tours, and I'd just find a job bartending.
Any place of note?
I worked at Rafifi. I was working.
Wow. Did you ever work Friday nights or trash?
Yeah, that was my shift.
I probably bought drinks from you.
Awesome. Yeah, I have some of my favorite, just like,
Can you regale us with one story from, like, the heyday of Trash or Fifi? Or for those who don't know what it is.
Every week it was the same tight crew of people that used to just hang out there all the time, listening to Smiths, Morrissey, like, mid-period Placebo or whatever, you know, like. And it was fun, you know, like, it seemed like those kids were having a really, really good time. My favorite was just, like, when, like, you'd, all of a sudden, middle of the night, every Friday, you'd hear, like, a knocking on the door, and somebody would have locked themselves in there just doing something, whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just, like, you know, eventually they'd send me, because I was not threatening, but I could, you know, I had no qualms about telling somebody to get out of the bathroom, you know what I mean? So I knew how to jimmy open the door, and I jimmy open the door, and there's always just, like, some, like, balled out, like, leaned, like, asymmetrical haircut dude with, like, white makeup, vampire style, like, just, like, being this, like, awkwardly fucked on the toilet by some strange girl. And I just, you know, I just wonder, like, our joke was just, like, how many trash babies were born every year, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
How many trash babies?
Not enough.
Not enough. I don't know.
I wonder if they're all named, like, Morrissey.
They're probably all named Mar or Johnny Mar or what else? International Playboy.
Yeah. So you're working at Rafifi and going, like, there might be something better else out there.
But my best friend at the time, who's now my wife, who I now have a child with, Brooke Baxter, like, had, I had helped her out at this place called Glass House. It was this beautiful, weird, chaotic art space, and she wanted to, you know, she wanted to do that same thing, but in a more sort of constructed, lasting way that could have a relationship with the community and be an art space.
Right.
I was like, I will do anything for that. So she and her partner Roland got this warehouse. I was like, whatever you need me to do, I helped her. I helped the carpenter build the back of it. I ended up living there for about 2 years, just being the whatever bar back sound guy.
And the name of that space was
Glasslands.
Amazing.
And which is actually where I met you.
Yes,
indeed. I was a bartender there, and you used to do the Finger on the Pulse shows.
Yes, we did. Give out Colt 45.
Sponsored by Colt 45.
Yikes. I remember when Glassland opened.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, what is this place where people are living in the back?
I mean, at the time, I loved it. For me, at that point in my life, I didn't care. I had a windowless place in the back of
No, it was great. It was
I felt like I had the biggest living room in Brooklyn. It was awesome. We had shows from time to time. It was a real, like, it really felt like an idyllic way to live in Brooklyn. Like, if you're going to live in Brooklyn, just having the beautiful space where you could book shows and have things, you know, just whatever you wanted. That place was so flexible and wonderful, and Brooke and Roland were just so so driven in this amazing way to make that space. And you know, and in the beginning, it was amazing. They had after school programs for kids, and just, you know, they were really building
a community center.
Yeah, a community center that had shows, and then, you know, and then she worked really, really hard to legitimize that. And I was
now it's a legitimate space.
Now it's a legitimate space. She's since moved on to
Manhattan.
She opened the Manhattan Inn. She sold she sold Glasslands to the Pop Gun guys who had been booking there forever.
Amazing.
They wanted like a whole office and stuff, and her and Roland went to open up the Manhattan Inn, which is a beautiful cocktail bar.
But so you got a taste for something more permanent than being on tour and working at Rafifi.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I was on the road for like 7 years, just kind of like, I didn't have an apartment, you know, I was like living on Brooke's couch before we were dating, and just kind of like working at spots, and just... And
then you slowly transitioned to the bed, right?
Just, yep, couch to the bed.
It's a good move.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was way more comfortable.
No, if you write an autobiography, it should be called that.
Yeah.
Couch to the bed.
Yeah.
The Jeff and Brooke story.
The Jeff and Brooke story.
So, what year is this?
For what?
That you're starting to think you want something more permanent.
That was like, I mean, that was 2-3 years ago. You know, I was ready. I was ready for something a little bit. I needed to ground myself in some way. You know, like, I was really, really happy traveling, and that served its purpose, and I got to go all over the world just for playing bass, made a little bit of money.
Nice.
And I got to, you know, I got to see things. I got to live out that sort of like prolonged adolescent dream of traveling around the world, you know. And
at some point you stumbled across the Breakfast Taco.
Breakfast Taco, Austin, Texas. Phil Waldorf, the owner of Phosphorescence record label Dead Oceans, showed up with a sack of those things.
What year is this?
This is 2007.
Okay.
2007.
Do you remember where they were from?
They were from why is it?
Taco Hut?
Why is this?
Taco Shack?
Tortilla. It was way out. It was out of the city. It was this little shack. I think it was Taco Shack. No, I don't know. Come back to me on that. I can't remember right now. But
so you had it, and was it a revelatory moment? Did you, like, see the face of God in that breakfast taco?
No, I just realized that bread was wrong. You know, like, bread was, like, what that did for me is realize that the tortilla is such an evolution of the edible napkin that is bread. You know what I mean? It's, like, it never goes bad. And, like, it suited everything about me. You know, like, you could buy a pack of tortillas and have, you know, they don't go bad as fast, and you can just kind of make whatever sandwich on it. You don't feel horrible.
Yeah.
I ate like 100 of them. Not 100, but, you know, I just...
A lot.
I ate the bag, and then I told him, like, I made him drive me out there, and I wanted to see where these things were made, and it was just these, you know, like, four Mexican ladies just slopping eggs and bacon on it, and it was so simple and so cheap and so good, And, you know, it never really left me. It never, I thought about them all the time. I thought about them when I was in New York. I made them for myself for breakfast. I had kind of mastered what actually eventually became sort of what I serve now, you know?
Okay.
I kind of did my own twist on it, and then when I opened the store, I was just like, you know, that's what I started selling, and people were okay with it, you know?
All right, well, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to talk about selling those breakfast tacos, the birth of Whirly Bird, and the evolution.
Cool.
Cool.
This special program was brought to you by TechServe, New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving creative professionals at all levels, from individual customers to Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation in their expertise in technology, sales, and service. Visit them on the web at techserve.com or in New York City at 119 West 23rd Street. Learn more about their in-store classes and incredible insider program. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
All right, welcome back to Snacky Tunes. We're here with Jeff from Whirly Bird, and we were just talking about the first time you had a breakfast taco and how you started making them.
Right.
And how did that evolve from you making them in your bedroom? And I'm assuming that making breakfast tacos was part of your courtship with Brooke?
No, not really. It was based on other things.
Okay. So how did Whirly Bird get out of your kitchen and into an actual store in Williamsburg?
Well, I mean, I was ready. I had the idea to open a coffee shop, and Brooke was like, well, Brooke's the kind of person who will say, all right, this. And she had opened two places before, so she was able to kind of give me the answer, like things that would normally stop me from opening a shop. She would be like, nope, this is how it's possible. You know what I mean? And she basically just looked, and we found this space where it is now, and it was really agreeable rent.
And it's the perfect setting for a taco shack.
Yeah, it's 300 square feet. It had been closed for 2 years, and it was a baked potato shop that looked like when they gave me the key, like when I looked at it, it looked like one day this baked potato shop had closed and just left.
Wait, they just served baked potatoes?
Yeah, they were a baked potato store. What was it called? Potato Cafe, oddly enough.
That is an interesting concept.
I remember when that was open, and I was like, and I walked by it a lot of times. I was like, that's a pretty novel concept, but like, I feel, you know, I mean, I don't want to talk too much about what their story was, because I have no idea. All I know is that they left me 3 refrigerators, a decent menu board, and a fridge full of beer, and a stereo.
Two potatoes that grew into 18.
Dude, I mean,
you must have found some funky spuds in there.
Oddly enough, nothing was really that gross in there, but there was a Coca-Cola fridge full of beer, which I used constructively. And they had a stack full of R. Kelly CDs which was sort of like the soundtrack to building the place, taking it apart and building it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Were they bootlegs or like
Limbo? No, actual CDs. There was this, just the spin, you know how like they have CDRs and people like, that becomes people's CD holders. There was just like, just pretty much the catalog from 97 to 2003 of radio R&B on there. And that was sort
that
of...
That just seems so specific to be eating only loaded baked potatoes listening to R. Kelly.
I can imagine the party that is.
So really. What year did you open?
I opened December 3rd, 2011. 2 years ago.
And to, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And to pretty good reviews right out the gate.
Dude, right out of the gate. Because of opening a coffee shop that had breakfast tacos, I knew, you know, it's one of those ideas you have. You're like, I know this is a good idea because it doesn't exist in any major way in New York, and I didn't want it, like, you know, and I wanted to open a coffee shop, but I really wanted to bring something new to the table, and that just, it felt right. And when I did, and I was right, because people got really excited about it, and I had like a bunch of great write-ups in the beginning, and all my friends were excited, I was excited, like people traveling from Texas, any band that had ever been to Texas was pretty stoked about it, you know. And And not only that, like, I didn't really just ape an Austin, Texas taco. I sort of made my own version of it.
Let's talk about that. So, what's the name of it? How did it come to be? Why did you do that specific taco?
I just called it, I basically just wanted to have scrambled eggs with cheese, and I wanted to involve chorizo, which is my favorite style of meat. Mm-hmm. On the planet, even more than bacon, and that's all I wanted to sell. And then my friend Francisco came in early on, and he's like, sure, let's do this. And he sort of put the chorizo, place the chorizo in sort of like almost like a pepper, red and green pepper poblano tomato sauce, almost like a ragu, almost like that, because he, you know, that was his style of cooking, and I was like, this is amazing. And then I wanted to like blacken, make crispy potatoes on there, but it kept smoking out the restaurant because there's not like amazing ventilation in there, and I was trying to cook with I was trying to cook within the limitations so that you don't have to buy a hood.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, so you know, you can't really smoke out the place. So, and when I cooked the potatoes, when I was like blackening the potatoes, it would smoke the place out. So I just put crushed up potato chips because I wanted the, I wanted a little bit of crunch on there, and it just sort of
it works.
Became I literally just said go with it and kind of have tweaked it since then and perfected it.
That's great. And you but you do rotate in every once in a while some other tacos.
Oh yeah, we always have a lunch taco, and you know, we try to experiment, but like I think what's very attractive about the place is that it's very, very simple. You're not met with a lot of choices. You're just kind of like, okay, this is this and this is that, and if you know, if that's what you want, then it's there for you.
I feel like that's a new trend with restaurants where it's just a couple of items just done all very well. It's not like a giant, you know, 2-3 dozen menu items.
I think that's the only way to not drive yourself insane. If you have a 300 square foot restaurant and you're trying to do 20-30 different items with 1,000 variations, it's just going to be, you're not going to have an enjoyable time running a restaurant, and you're going to have a lot of waste. And when you're doing a place that small, you really are like micromanaging to sort of maximize profits and make it sustainable.
Now, one of the things that you guys do is you also do this thing where you featured record labels. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I wanted to do that from the beginning because music is and always has been my life, and I wanted to have a record player in there from the get go. That was essential to me, and I wanted to show love to record labels that were, to smaller record labels at first just in Brooklyn, that we're just keeping physical media alive, because I think it's just, it's such a beautiful artifact to keep doing, and it totally doesn't make sense, and it's neat, but it's the best way to listen to music still, you know?
Yeah. What labels have you featured?
I've had all of our, it's expanded beyond Brooklyn, but I started with Partisan Records, which is based out of Brooklyn, and they had just put out a Virgin Forest record, and so I wanted to make them part of the conversation, and then I did this amazing record label that called No Quarter that does a lot of weird stuff, and then since then I've had like New West, French Kiss, everything, you know, like every, oh, Captured Tracks, and you know, and then I don't know, recently Columbia Legacy was just like, would you pick 15 records from our catalog? I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know.
Oh.
I wanted to be like I didn't want to be a snob, but
no, Columbia's got a great history.
They do, and I really wanted a copy of Graceland, and I wanted that new Bob Dylan self-portrait box set, and they were like, yeah, here you go. I was like, great,
great.
It's also, you know, I mean, selfishly, it's a great way to get a bunch of free records every month to listen to and share with people, and you know, it makes the conversation mostly about music, which is,
I mean, 51% of why we do the show is free pizza every week.
Yeah, that's
maybe 52.
You got to make it worth it for yourself in this life. You know?
So, what's coming up for Whirlybird? Menu expansion? What's 2004 look like?
2014. I'm gonna start doing. I want to start doing delivery. I just had a good experience with your office where you work, where mm-hmm. I delivered 250 tacos. So
they were delicious. Everyone thanks you.
Yeah, it was a. So I kind of want to just do, I want to just do via Seamless, I just want to do like clumps of 5 or 10 tacos and, you know, be able to deliver them to offices, because it's, you know, I think that it's really good for morale if you start your day with a breakfast taco.
Oh my God. It's better than morale.
Yeah,
it's like the day starts on the highest of notes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, doesn't matter how bad your day gets. It started out all right, you know?
Yeah. And but before I forget, what coffee do you serve there?
I spent 7 years working always at Oslo, and in my opinion, my humble opinion, it's still the best coffee and most consistently well roasted coffee. And they keep it simple, which I like. You know what I mean? They roast a few different things, a few different profiles. You know, you don't really have to talk about it like wine. It's just this really, really good style of coffee that I really respect, you know?
Amazing. Well, I want to thank you so much.
No problem.
Where can people go? Is there Instagram, Twitter, website?
Twitter and Instagram is WhirlybirdNY. I'm extremely glib and clever on Twitter, and my Instagram's just beautiful. I had a baby, so there's like baby pictures in there sometimes too, but what nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong at all. It's a good day for breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
Pretty good vibe here in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whirly's open because it's not our first rodeo. Amateurs. Okay.
See what I'm saying? Pretty glib.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's, I mean, you know, it's. I feel like I've lost. You know, I've lost some edge. I got to get it back. It's winter time. You know.
Yeah. And all right. Well, cool. All right. Well, I also want to thank you for letting Adrian take off from work today.
Oh yeah, that's fine.
To come and play after this. We're gonna do another musical break. I mean, I know they keep putting out records, but their first one's really the best. They have that youth where I think probably half the people didn't really know how to play the instruments. The lead guy was just like, just keep pressing these three buttons.
Yeah.
Well, Adrian, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
I know we're not going to go into it, but my vote is that you don't take down your story bio section.
Oh, yeah.
Because yep. It's just...
It's thorough.
It's thorough. How long did it take you to write it?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it was an afternoon.
All right. All we really need to know is that you started playing as a child, and your father taught you how to play music.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a long list of inspirations.
Yes.
We'll sum it up like this. What from your childhood, teenage years still resonates today with you as a musician and a performer?
Well, I'm sure a lot, even just on a subconscious level, because I was taking in so much when I was a kid. I mean, I started playing when I was six and had a lot of... I got to work with a lot of older musicians who had been doing it for a long time. And my experiences were... I just kind of look at it like my school. Like,
yeah.
that was school for me. Recording. I recorded a couple records before I was 16, and that was amazing. I would never take that back. And yeah, I learned a lot, and a lot of it, I'm sure, is why I'm where I am now.
Which is?
I guess I can't pinpoint it exactly, but even just, I guess just feeling comfortable, having such a long relationship with music, and feeling, like, you know, my guitar is like the closest thing to me. I don't know, I may not feel that way if I had just started playing, but since I've been playing forever, I mean, for as long as I can remember, I have a special relationship with it.
How long have you had that guitar?
This one I've had since I was 14.
Wow, it's in good shape.
Yeah, I try not to be too rough on it. Although recently it took a tumble.
Oh, what happened?
It was the first time I was just depositing a paycheck, and I stepped outside of the bank, and I had it in a soft case, a travel case, and yeah. I knew when I was taking that case out, I knew that it wasn't very well padded, and I was a little bit worried about it, but I didn't have my case, and I was using a friend's case, and the strap came off, and it just fell vertically, just straight down on the bottom of the body.
Oof.
And the cracked the wood, split the wood up the top, up the face of the guitar, and then up the back too. Yeah, so I just started crying so hard.
Oh.
It was awful. I thought it was, yeah, because I opened up the case, I was like, oh shit. And I, yeah, it was a pretty intense moment. I felt like my baby had just fallen. But
it looks good now.
But now, yeah, actually, yeah.
You got it all fixed up?
I got it fixed up.
Nice.
Got a good deal on it.
All right. Well, do you want to play us a song on your fixed up guitar?
Sure.
What are you going to play for us first?
This one's new. It doesn't have a title yet.
All right.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to take off my headphones.
Yeah, that's fine.
Step outside and make my way on from Carolina. Anyway, the weather blows, home is where I find you. With the ache inside to ride the mighty wind and nothing more. Oh, I just wanna see you there, sleeping on my floor. Well, I don't really like you, I just wanna kiss you. I don't know how to love you, but some days I miss you. I just wanna see you there, sleeping on my floor. With the ache inside to ride the mighty wind and nothing more. And I'm calling on angels now. I want them to set me free. I hope that they're real, though sometimes it feels like nobody's listening. Words they'd say when they started talking. He was headed for the open road. She turned and slammed the door. Said learning love ain't easy, child, when all you see is war.
fence is down and pushing on the levees. This water's getting high again, these hands are getting heavy. And we are all just hypocrites vying for a shore, with the aching side to ride the mighty wind and nothing more. But she came and shook me tenderly one night while I was drinking. The alcohol was quick as sand and took me down to sinking. The sinking took me praying and I fell upon the floor. I said, I'm waiting for my time to go, please tell it to me, Lord. And I'm calling on angels now, I want them to set me free. I hope that they're real, though sometimes it feels like nobody's listening.
Awesome. Really nice. Really
Thanks.
Pretty.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about the album, which is you are considering, despite having previous albums, this is your first album, Hours Were the Birds.
Mm-hmm.
Love the title.
Thank you.
Where did that come from?
Time Flies.
Time Flies?
Mm-hmm.
nice. It's a pun?
Kind of.
I love it even more.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the process of putting out your first album and, you know, when did you start writing songs for it, or is this, you know, are these songs from your entire life that got put into your first album?
These are songs that I've been working on for maybe, I guess the earliest one on there is from when I was about 17, which is Disappear.
Okay.
And then, there's another track on there, Lighthouse, from when I was 18, and then it's basically, I just chose these songs from a bunch of songs that I've written over the last 4 years.
How do you feel about it? Like, is it like having your first child?
I don't know. Because I've never had a child, but I think it's definitely vulnerable.
Yeah, I guess that's more, you know, not in the birth way, but just like putting something out there that you created and sort of you're protective about it, but it's got a life of its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all really special to me. And it's always it can be kind of scary putting something out there that's that close to you, but it's cool too to finally just let them go and let other people hear them.
So when you were writing the album, we always like to ask, what was the, food and drink situation in the studio and the inspiration of sustenance, from like, you know, a dietary point of view?
What was I eating while I was recording it?
Yeah. And drinking and
you
having
know,
in the studio.
I, it's funny when I recorded these, I was alone the whole time.
Really?
I mean, no, it was me and then Rob Osterlin, the recording engineer.
Okay.
But I actually made this sandwich that sounds disgusting, but I still think about it. It's just bread. I don't remember what kind it was. It's the antithesis of the tortilla. I'm sorry, Jeff. But it had bread and then miso. On it.
Like miso paste?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to get really weird. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Peanut butter?
I'm with you so far.
Banana?
Still with... Yeah.
And avocado.
Okay.
That's where I might lose some people.
Oh man,
it just sounds
just,
really weird.
Just sounds really mushy.
Yeah, I'm less weirded out by the flavors, more of like a texture thing.
Yeah, it's just.
Did you toast the bread?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so there's some crunch there.
Yeah. Is that gonna? Do you see that making it on the Whirly Bird menu anytime soon?
I mean, no.
I mean, I'll put it this way: miso, peanut butter, banana.
I just think the miso. I guess I don't know.
Miso just adds a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
You know, you don't put tons of miso.
No, I'm with you on that.
But banana and avocado, I will say that's weird. That's kind of odd.
What do you like about that flavor combo?
Well, I was thinking. I was craving too many things at once. Like, have you ever had a smoothie with avocado in it?
Yeah.
That can be really good. And I was kind of wanting that, but I also wanted a sandwich.
Did you make the sandwich multiple times?
No. I've only ever made it the one time.
And how did you feel about it?
Well, it stuck in my memory.
Yeah, I don't think that's a flavor you would forget.
I really enjoyed it. And I think I'll make it again someday. And I had it with I had a beer with it, a stout.
Okay.
I was really proud of that snack.
That's just a lot of food thickness.
Yeah, well, I like thick food.
Okay. Okay.
I think some of the most beautiful music can be made when you're just on the verge of throwing up. You know what I mean? That's when you can be truly honest with yourself and with others.
I think this was towards the end of the day, and I was really tired. I felt empty.
That sounds like a very tired made meal.
Also, yeah. I didn't have that many groceries left. It was kind of just what was left, and I put them all together.
That also sounds like a end of the grocery.
Yeah. So,
you know what? That was a lie. I had my choice of so many different.
I just wanted that. It was first thing in the morning, and I just got on the grocery store. do you remember what song you were recording around that time?
I believe that was the. Banana, avocado, miso song that I...
That's burning up the charts in the Philippines, I think.
Yeah.
The dance that goes with it is also very amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Nauseating.
I think, there's no way I can remember what songs I was working on that day, but I could play something from around that time.
Okay. Let's hear a song from that time. What are you thinking?
I'll play the title track of that album.
Okay.
Okay. So this is called Hours with the Birds. Let's see if I can remember how to play it. Got something here, it's a chance. I'ma make my changes as I go in the city lights dance away the stars. I have met all kinds of reasons why the seasons leave their scars. I am thin as cinnamon and tarnished like these metal cars that drive along the rivers of the tar. And weatherproof as the rain, and I fooled every lover into drinking up my pain. I am hanging by the edges of my name, but I am warm, so comfortable forgetting about the storm. I love Minnesota, Michigan, Colorado too, Atlanta, Montana, Nebraska, and the moon and you. I must have been a traveler inside of the womb. Never had a place with a living room. You said a house is a tomb. Well, zoom, 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 here we go. Annie, no more planning. Isn't this dandy? I've got you and you've got me. Thank you.
asking the moon and you. Well, life is easy come and it's easy go. 2 hours with the birds and I guess they flew. I just can't get a grip on this place, Billy. Zoom, 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 here we go, Annie. No more planning, isn't this dandy? I've got you, and you've got me.
Awesome. That's a good title track.
Thank you.
When you write a title track, or when you name a song, or an album after a song, how does that process go? Do you write the song and then you're like, oh, I think this song represents the album, so I'm going to name the album after it, or what's the thought behind it?
I really had no... finding a name for the album was something that came kind of last, and it was after I had all the songs together. And I just felt like Hours with the Birds... I mean, it wasn't the plan to name it after one of the songs, but I just felt like that kind of captured the spirit of the record in general, because it came from a time when I was, it's kind of, a lot of stuff is about growing up and just that feeling, and I felt like it was appropriate, and I just liked the way it sounded, and kind of wanted to just do the obvious thing. I just kind of wanted to go for it and not try to make it any more mysterious, just name it and have the first song be that. It's not necessarily the peak of the album or anything, or I don't know. Yeah, it's just...
Just is.
Yeah, I just liked it.
Sometimes you just gotta go after things that you like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No mystery. Too much mystery? There's too much mystery. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say that I feel sometimes in this era, in this area, there's sometimes like things are shrouded in mystery or...
Yeah. I feel like we're living in a post-mystery world, and I think she's kind of leading the way, you know?
Yeah.
It's post-mystery.
Pomai?
Pomai, yeah.
Or Pomi?
Pomis.
Pumice.
Pumice.
Pumice. So what's next? What do you got coming up? What's on the dockets?
Well, I'm going to do a tour in May. And
is your boss
going to
let you get off work?
I hope so, but I don't know. Maybe I won't talk too much about that right now. I'm just kidding.
Well, you can work it out. I mean, you know, it's a perfect time to work out a schedule. No.
Yeah, we got time with it, right? Yeah. Joe, we got time in the air for them to work out the schedule?
Jeff has always been really flexible about music stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've worked at jobs. As long as the people who work for me, if they do a good job, they can come and go, and I'll bend over backwards for it, you know. Because when I worked at places, I just did a really, really good job, and then I went on tour, and then when I came back, they gave me the job back because I did as good or better a job than anybody else they could find. So you know, if the job, I also never expected that job to be back for me. So I had a lot of jobs, but I try to be flexible, you know, as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be.
There's no point. I mean, you're gonna work at my coffee shop for the rest of your life, you know?
You are.
I mean, yeah, I am. But that's my choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're gonna go on tour.
Jeff just makes it clear that as long as we do a Skype session where I'm showing him me practicing making an egg every night that I'm on tour, like I just have to be practicing and perfecting the Whirly Bird breakfast taco. And send him Evan.
How are your breakfast taco making skills?
She's actually really, really good. She came right, like she came in and just like, I just showed her one time and she even got like the nuances of, the key is how you scramble the egg, and she mastered it, you know?
What's the key?
Scrambling the egg, putting it on a cold, like a little bit of oil in a cold pan, and then just moving it around so that it's like right between being underdone and overdone, and the egg is still shiny and it has this like almost cheese.
You make curds. Sort of steam it.
Yeah.
That's how I do my eggs.
It's in my opinion, it's the only way. Like,
it's the only way.
That's how you scramble it.
You make a big old curd.
Yep.
You don't want it to be dry.
No. I don't like people who like when you see the pan afterward, it's all burnt and your egg's all brown and things like that. Like, some people do scrambled eggs on a really high heat.
Yeah.
make them, you know, they scramble in a minute. I don't get that.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know why that was ever cool. Maybe they just, you know, I think those people have just never had eggs the right way. You know what I mean?
Maybe they're impatient. I don't know. I feel like you just got to wait. You just got to wait for your eggs to scramble.
Whatever floats your boat, though. If you like that burnt taste.
I don't know. I really feel that there's a right way and a wrong way to make scrambled eggs.
Yeah. I think that there's one one way to do it.
So you're gonna go on tour in May.
Yeah.
You're playing a show soon, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm playing on the 15th, which is this Wednesday.
Where are you playing?
I believe it's this Wednesday. Yeah, at Rockwood Music Hall, stage 2.
Nice.
In Lower East Side.
Nice. I've yet to go there. I heard it's nice though.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
a cool place. It'll be fun. And I'm also, well, no, that doesn't. I'm playing in Boston soon, too, but.
Beantown. Go to Anna's Taqueria. They have great burritos there.
So good.
Have you had those? Yeah, it's the best. That might be my favorite.
I feel like every city I've been in, I seek out the Mexican food.
I think it's partially because New York's Mexican food overall is really lacking.
I think so. I mean, you can find it. You can know, if you know where to find it, you can find it. There's two places that are gone from the Williamsburg area that I lament every day. Matamoros grocery store in the back of it.
Between
North
6
and North 7.
Yeah, but Matamoros has been gone for...
I know that. I mean, I still lament it. And my secret was La Valita Bakery on Grand and Bedford, the one with the dirty old cakes in it.
Oh, yeah.
$2 got you a taco that was overstuffed that you...
Wait, they made tacos there?
They made... Dude, they closed. It's gone. It's too late now. But they made chorizo tacos... that you get one for $2 and it was overstuffed. They give you two tortillas, so you lift up one tortilla and eat over the first tortilla, and the stuff that would fall out of the first taco was your second taco, and it cost $2, and
I didn't even know they had tacos. I just ignored it.
I always try. I never told anybody about it because I wanted it to be my secret, and now it's gone, and now I'm sad about it.
Do that.
Have you been to Mexico 2000? Up on Grand and Hooper.
That's where I get my chorizo.
Oh,
yeah. That's the place that's still kind of holding the torch.
That place is great.
Yeah, I had to learn Spanish because I wanted to order my chorizo from them, and they won't.
Do they make their own chorizo?
They make their own chorizo, and it's unbelievable.
It is. That place is. I got to go back there.
It's slamming.
All right, so Adrian, what last song do you have for us?
I could play a newer one, or I could do one off of the record.
Whatever you want.
All right, I'll do this one.
But wait, before we go, how do people find you online? What's the nuts and bolts?
Well, you can get my record at adrianlinker.bandcamp.com.
Okay.
Or you can... I have a Facebook page as well, just Adrian Linker. Or my website, adrian.com.
Just adrian.com?
Adrian or Adrian Linker. Either will take you there.
That's amazing that you got just your first name, .com.
Yeah.
My dad's a web designer, and he got it for me when I was like 12.
Back.
He was on top of it.
There you go.
Teaching how to play music and buy new websites. Well, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being our first show of the year.
Awesome.
Again, Happy New Year. Last day to say it.
Yep. Happy New Year, everybody. Don't try and say it to me tomorrow.
No. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Greg in L.A.
Greg.
And then we have our first Bar Food Blowout coming up on February 11th at Park Slope with the Maharlika and Jipney people.
Amazing.
Radical Dads will be DJing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll try and come out.
Yeah.
Can I bring my kid?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Bar friendly. All right, here we go. Last song, Snacky Tunes. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
City gripped me like a big old machine. I went into one side, landed in a dream. It stirred me up and made me shout, and sometimes I forgot about the way the wind blows in and out of the cottonwood trees. And oh, it's easy to lose your mind. Am I?
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.